Hi, welcome to Paul Don Power, Power System Design's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Bernard Abou-Swan. He's the Vice President of Marketing at Gainspan. They're a company that manufactures wireless semiconductors and modules, and we're going to talk about embedded wireless and the Internet of Things and how that impacts power design and the power industry. So hi, Bernard. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello, Alex. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Thanks.
So, what do you think is the greatest challenge to the designer, the design engineer, when it comes to embedded wireless systems?
Well, there are a few challenges in terms of, fundamentally, it's adding connectivity to an existing or to a new device or a new appliance. So there are a number of challenges that you have to consider. First is the fact that a lot of those appliances or devices initially did not have a microcontroller or had a very small microcontroller, and now you are adding connectivity to the solution. So that's one challenge, and how do you address that? Okay. The second one being the fact that those devices have to live a certain amount of time. I mean, especially when they are remotely deployed, you have to be able to upgrade, you know, over the air, you know, firmware upgrade those devices so they could live a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is power consumption. I mean, the power consumption of the device. If you look at the number of appliances or devices we talk about, a lot of those devices are battery powered, and hence power consumption is very critical.
Mm-hmm. But then the interesting thing is that when you start looking at things like smart grid and smart facility and the like, you've got both battery devices that you're dependent upon in say, a household environment, and you've got wireless capabilities to help you monitor the performance of the wired devices to increase your facility's efficiency.
Yeah, very much so. So you know, some of the capability which are important is being able exactly to measure the power consumption. In fact, if you look at you know, one of the new chip or solutions that we've introduced, RGS 2000, we are basically providing a number of 16-bit A2D to be able to measure this very precisely.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Now, it's interesting when you think about it that an entire infrastructure has built up in the Wi-Fi space for consumer devices and household products and the like, and another infrastructure is built up in the industrial space in the wireless for Zigbee. And it, in a household solution, you're going to have a Zigbee backplane, say, of your smart meter or whatever, but then the devices in the network are going to be speaking a different language. Is that, do you see that as a challenge, or is that just being addressed by attaching two chips to the board?
No. In fact, it is a challenge. In fact, we've addressed, I was mentioning RGS 2000, which is our new chip that we're introducing. You know, that chip is capable of supporting, in fact, both protocol, which is Zigbee IP, as well as Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, because it's a very, you know, it's a very wide deployment with over 1.5 billion devices that got chipped last year. So obviously a very prevalent, you know, solution, which is well-liked by consumers. And on the other side, you have Zigbee and Zigbee IP, which is really the IP version of Zigbee. Because as we talk about connected devices and, you know, what comes up in Internet is Internet protocol, which is really IP. Okay, so it was very important for us to integrate the Zigbee IP because it helped us bridge the household environment with the utility environment, which, you know, where, especially in the U.S. here, most of the meters are really based on Zigbee today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, thinking about this device, now you've done this specifically to address that two-tier issue. Obviously, there might be other environments, but let's talk about the issue of, say, smart meter and household devices. How would the engineer, say, for example, apply that device in such a system?
Well, so first, I mean, they have to consider what device they are considering, and what do they want to do with it, and what really this, you know, in our case, what the chip really leverages is the capability of both protocol. What's nice about Zigbee, it's a low bandwidth application, so the channels are quite small, which means that you could go from a distance point of view, you could reach further, and you could consume less from a battery perspective point of view.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, Wi-Fi brings you the high bandwidth, you know, the multi-megabit per second and wider channel. And in our case, you know, we've been, you know, promoting and developing solutions that are low-power Wi-Fi solutions so far, and now we're extending it to even provide even better performance from a by leveraging the capability of Zigbee by offering, you know, smaller channelization and hence, you know, lower power consumption as well as longer reach. And the meshing capability that comes with Zigbee as well.
And obviously that applies internationally.
And that applies internationally very well, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there are different requirements. Are the different regulatory environments a real problem, or is it just a matter of addressing it through, in your case, the device that's approved for those environments?
Well, so the way we address, so for example, in the U.S., what has been talked about a lot over Zigbee and Wi-Fi, what's called a smart energy profile, and so sometimes referred to as SEP 2.0. So it is a protocol that's based over IP and could run on Zigbee IP, could run on Wi-Fi, and could run as well as on home plug. So it works on multiple standards. The smart energy profile has been heavily promoted. Today, in fact, there is a consortium that's managing this whole interoperability between smart energy profile devices, and that consortium, in fact, is it consists of Zigbee, the Zigbee Alliance consists of the Wi-Fi Alliance as well as the Home Plug Alliance. So they came up with this standard, if you want, and are looking at certification of devices that conform to that.
Mm-hmm.
You have, equivalently, you have in Japan, for example, you have something that's called Econet Lite, where the Japanese government has decided to develop a solution that's very similar to the smart energy profile. And in the U.S., you have also, by the way, another which is not completely overlapping the smart energy profile, which is called OpenADR.
Mm-hmm.
So our solution really supports all of these standards and are capable of, and is capable of supporting all these standards.
Excellent, excellent. So now, you obviously have engineers standing by that can help people with designs. Do you have reference designs, development kits for this device yet?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. We have several reference design. In fact, we call them ADK or application development kits. So to really address a number of applications, and we have a reference design as well as a software development kit. So people could evaluate the solution, develop the solution using the software development kit, and then they have the application development kits, which really brings them closer to the actual application. So, for example, today we have a video ADK or application development kit. We have an audio ADK, and then we have a thermostat ADK. Then we are developing a number of sensors ADK. So, fundamentally, where you could basically, if you have simple applications that you need fundamentally to connect the sensor, what this ADK brings you, it brings you first the hardware where you could basically connect the sensors, and then you could connect them either to the cloud or you could connect them to a smartphone. So you could control and monitor from a smartphone. And we provide, in fact, the application running on the smartphone. So somebody who wants to develop a solution could modify the code that we provide on the smartphone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone, or could modify the code that's sitting on the cloud and then suit it to his application or customize it to his application.
Well, I'd say that's all science fiction stuff when you start thinking about controlling your house from your phone, but none of the big science fiction writers ever predicted pocket computing and smartphones, ironically. So I can just say really, well, Dick Tracy, but I can say very, very blue sky stuff when you think about the capabilities that are being made available now through actually very relatively inexpensive technologies.
Yeah, very much so. In fact, it's very interesting that And although we've been in the space, you know, of promoting Internet of Things for quite a while, really what has happened recently is the big growth that has happened because of smartphone, where people want to be able, especially in the home, where people want to be able to connect their devices and control and monitor it from the smartphone. So now, you know, it's basically fundamentally having a small application, you could control your appliance, or you could control, you know, your rice cooker, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of devices that are coming up where basically people, all they want is connectivity to the smartphone. Mm-hmm. So you really have those two aspects, connectivity to the smartphone and connectivity to the Internet. And that's why Wi-Fi is a good solution for that, because what technology do you have in a smartphone today? You have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. What technology talks IP today? It's Wi-Fi and Zigbee IP. And the intersection between those two is Zigbee, which is really the core of what we are offering. But we're extending it with the capability that low bandwidth technology provides, which what Zigbee IP provides is, you know, extended reach, range, and power consumption, low power consumption.
Right. So a hybrid chip for a hybrid solution.
Hybrid chip for a hybrid solution, very much.
There you go. So, Bernard, is there anything else you'd like to discuss before we close out the episode?
Well, you know, I'd like maybe to illustrate, you know, one final aspect where I believe, you know, the combination of those technologies are very important. It's really the case of an appliance. So an appliance, the appliance manufacturer wants the appliance to be able to be connected to the Internet, because he might want to collect some statistics, get some maintenance information. The user could benefit, for example, you know, if you have a fridge, you could send a reminder to the owner, you know, that, you know, or to the customer, that
change your water filter,
replace your filter or whatever. So you could, and so basically it could increase sales. On the other side, you want to connect it to the utility network, because for load shedding purpose and things of that type, it's quite important. So, and third, you want to connect it to the smartphone. So you could, you know, turn on and off certain things. You could, you know, if, you know, a machine is too noisy, you want, you know, you're watching TV, then you could turn it off, or, you know, something like it. So you could see that you have to connect on all to the smartphone, to the broadband network, and to the website of the appliance manufacturer, as well as to the utility network. And really by combining the capability of Zigbee and Wi-Fi, it really gives you that capability.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bernard, I'm really glad you came on the show, because it was very interesting to hear all of that, especially considering this is an incredibly dynamic market segment right now, and I know the audience is looking for solutions exactly of the type you're describing.
Well, thank you, Alex. It's very encouraging.
Well, we'll bring you back in a few months, and we'll talk about embedded wireless some more, and maybe some new advances in the space on the regulatory side or on the product side.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, the pleasure's ours. And I'd also like to thank everybody out there for taking the time to listen to us. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you guys listening. Tell your friends. And I'd like to thank you. And I'm Alex Paul. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to be with us, and have a great day.